kingdom momentum, P equals MV, is going to accelerate you. Many people are like billiard balls sitting on a pool table, comfortable, idle, useless. This changes dramatically when the white striker ball hits them. Enter kingdom, the greatest ball no one can escape and only few saw coming. Let's start with the math. Momentum is defined as P equals MV, which means mass over velocity. But think domino stones, an avalanche of snow or stones, often starting small but then gathering mass and speed and sweeping everything in its path away with it. Let's have a brief look at three good news, three global developments that each are currently picking up significant masses and gathering speed. Momentum in the making. First, a new age has arrived. I call it post-liberal utopia, and I will tell you why. Once upon a time, in the old new age, peaking in the last 30 years of the 20th century, authors like Fridtjof Capra, Merlin Ferguson, the Findhorn community in Scotland, or Auroville in India made use and some waves. New age folks then loved to paint a picture of a golden future when we all become Aquarian, spiritual, post-rational, esoteric, animistic, and dance happily around the banyan tree, or at least around the classical VW van. Today, a new generation of cultural revolutionaries preach the gospel of veggie burgers, the blessings of a meat and diesel-free life, where it is hip to drink oat milk, Tinder your way through relationships, and go, instead of your church, to clubs and dance temples, and pay a fortune for the equivalent of the churchy Lord's Supper, a long drink, and peanuts. The mission of this new mass phenomenon that expresses itself in a myriad of initiatives like hashtag MeToo, Woke, BLM, or Fridays for Future is to do away with racism, be all out for climate change, and eliminate social and gender inequality. And it seems to have a clear understanding of who is the enemy, the bad guy, the corporate boogeyman, which is all those who eat meat, drive a diesel car, all who drink, God forbid, cow's milk, and those who probably are racist, hetero, and definitely older than 35. The most interesting thing about all of this is, why is it happening? And to understand what's driving it. Yes, part is a rebellion against the parents and their churchy, civic, middle-class, boring world. Work and earn, pay taxes and burn. Kind of a modern remake of the hippie movement in the 1960s. But the bigger engine is the dream of utopia, an imagined, dreamed up, visionary, ideal society towards which we all should strive. The battle cries are, let's make the world a better place, transform it, reset it, thanks Klaus Schwab, and vaccinate it, thanks Bill Gates. The big question is, though, what is better? Will the world really be better when a small group of ultra-rich feudalistic oligarchs run the planet in a post-democratic way as they wish, while the middle class gets extinct and the masses of working poor can't pay their rent and soon we live in slave hostels with bunk beds 4 to a room in London, as it is already a reality in Singapore or Dubai. Thanks, Russell Brand. The truth is, utopia, that dreamed up perfect island of Sir Thomas More, who wrote the book Utopia in 1516, is a world that never existed and probably never will. Utopia is the postmodern version of what the Bible describes as the Promised Land, or what used to be the plot at the end of the rainbow in the olden days. Now, why is this utopia post-liberal? Because utopia cannot be achieved if we all remain liberal, not even neoliberal. Why? Liberalism is defined as a political and moral philosophy based on the rights of the individual. With secular humanism having become the de facto religion of the West and the Western world, the secular human believes he is the highest authority in the world, accountable to nobody, his own little God. And precisely as long as people remain free to do what they want to be and to remain small gods but big egos, pursuing fun and their individualistic goals in the name of personal freedom, nothing will change. But things need to change. For real change, Someone also needs to be able to tell the rich what to do. Mao and Stalin believed that communism can only happen if the rich are forced at gunpoint to share with the poor. And because new global threats like global warming carry a force with them to conform or to be outlawed, liberalism is on the way out. A post-democratic order has already arrived that calls itself democracy, but actually is a neo-feudal dictatorship. And with it, a new cultural fundamentalism has already arrived that is not only taking to the street, it will soon appear in politics as well. Now, why is this good news? While I'm not all that excited with the current focus of the Utopia mission, I completely agree with its underlying passion, its drive. This world simply is, for the vast majority of people, not a great, just and lovely place. It's mostly tough, hard, and unjust, and will get under your skin sooner than later. It is therefore not only a right, but a must to cry out, to stop being silent and resigned. We all need to stand up, rising up, be part of a positive insurgency, a worthy cause bigger than ourselves. It's better to fight for something than to fight for nothing. And here comes my biggest reason why this mass phenomenon is good news. I know what those that are with it are ultimately after. I know what they are really looking for. They are homesick for a country they've never been. Just like Abraham, who at the crisp age of 75 packed up his Harley Davidson in search for what? A better fatherland, a city built by God himself. Look it up, Hebrews chapter 11. Many of this new utopia movement have already started to move into little utopian colonies, being far more progressive than your traditional church that is still saving up for a new sound system. Their communities are called transition towns, or smaller, an eco-village, where people try to live in a post-fossil, self-sustained, off-the-grid community. More than 1,200 such initiatives already exist in over 40 countries. It's a revival of Adam's and Eve's desire to get back into the Garden of Eden. It is powered by this Abrahamitic hunger for life in the city of God, life under a loving messianic king. All that needs to happen is for folks to see, yes, we're truly homesick for a country we've never been. And this country is called the Kingdom of God. Someone just needs to tell them. The second momentum development is people run away from religion like never before. It started around 1980 or 1990 when people, mostly the young business people, politicians, and, as someone said, anybody with an IQ above 90, began to move out of organized religion, all religions. A large percentage of Buddhists no longer go to temples, and big numbers of Muslims stay out of mosques. The same is true for Christianity, a religion founded and organized not by Jesus Christ, but by clerics called church fathers and by witty religious insurance brokers who sell, unpaid, churchy insurance policies against hell. Jesus preached the kingdom. What came, though, was churchianity. Many are now waking up to the scam and say, God, yes, church, no. The global fascination or even interest in Christianity is currently not receding, it is simply vanishing. This is leading to a systemic crisis and implosion of churches, leaders, and ministries. The numbers are already staggering. After a century of evangelism and church growth, think 1880 to 1980, worldwide, classical sanctuary-based Christianity, with few exceptions, has started to experience an unprecedented recession in the 1990s. But what was initially stagnation soon became a gigantic wave of departure, as a result of which today well over 50% of Christianity has already left the ship of organized religion. The trend, think momentum, is accelerating. Voices such as American researcher George Barna, his book Revolution, or U.S. sociologist Josh Packard, his books called Church Refugees, were largely ignored by the church. Then Corona came along and, over 2 years, pulled the plug on an entire church system. Noted American journalist Bob Smietana, in his book Reorganized Religion, coming out this year, describes a colossal spiritual migration away from organized religion to disorganized unbelief. Why is this good news as well? Because God has always wanted to call people away from man-made religion into a personal relationship. He wants people to hang out with him in authentic, non-ritualistic ways and share lives with him and each other as citizens of the country ruled by him, called the Kingdom of God. Once people are out of religion, many report how they experience a sort of deliverance, a spiritual factory reset, an invitation for a spiritual migration in search of, well, here we go again, a country they have never been and for which they have been homesick for such a very long time. Religion has trapped many people in kingdom-proof bubbles of self-made rebellion, dictated by religious gurus, their doctrines, traditions, and rituals. Christian denominationalism, brands, rebrands, spiritual fast food chains. People are fed up of that, including many of those that run it, once you had one or two bottles of cold milk with them. And once they realize what is the nature of the country they truly are searching for, the Kingdom of God, many will find it. Seek, and you shall find. Someone just needs to tell them. Number 3. The Kingdom Stone. Daniel 2 speaks prophetically of a moment of great singularity, a game-changing time, where the empires of the world will fall apart and God's empire, the kingdom, will rise. First, there is the rock cut out, without a human hand, hurtling through midair, and then striking into the 10 toes of the fascinating statue representing the four empires, Babylonian, Persian, Greek, and Roman, that has been given a certain time by God to dominate the earth. In Luke 21:24, Jesus spoke of a time when this time of the nations will end, will be fulfilled, when these empires will become chaff in the wind, as Daniel 2:35 says, gone, nowhere to be found, meaningless. In 8476, the Roman Empire was split into many different nations, and not surprisingly fell apart into exactly 10 nations or kingdoms. The Alemanni, the Anglo-Saxons, Franks, Burgundians, Lombards, Visigoths, Suevi, Ostrogoths, Heruli, and the Vandals. If you can see it, here you have your 10 toes of the imperial statue. And if you examine it closely, these are the 10 core nations that form Europe and its later colonies overseas. We all have watched the political experiment called the European Union, or as some say, the United States of Europe. Daniel's prophecy says in Daniel 2:42-44, they will try to mingle with each other and stick together. But these 10 nations are so different, like clay and iron, that they will fall apart. This is how Brexit fits into God's bigger picture. How the Anglo-Saxons will never mingle with the other 9 toes. They are not meant to. Whether Boris Johnson saw that aspect or not. And here it comes. In the days of those kingdoms, those that fall apart, God will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. It, this kingdom, will destroy and pulverize all these kingdoms and last forever. We find a lot of crushing, destroying, and pulverizing language here. And in the midst of all this global deconstruction, we find another great momentum prophesied. The rock, the kingdom, will become a great mountain filling the whole earth. Isaiah 9:6 rephrases that momentum when it says, of the increase of his government, there will be no end. I believe we have arrived at this watershed moment in history. And if this is true, we can conclude this. Kairos moments generate Kairos momentum. We live in a God-designed Kairos moment of historic crisis and opportunity. Anything that can be shaken is being shaken. Only that which cannot be shaken remains safe ground. The Kingdom of God. And we are watching God at work, who, in all his sovereignty, is setting up the kingdom. Setting up means to establish its foundations and then bringing it into visibility. The kingdom has always been there, says Jesus, Matthew 25:34, from the foundations of the earth. But there will be a specific time when it is set up, when it sits up, rises like a flat tent that is now being erected, grows and establishes its reality on the earth, here to stay. This is why the kingdom is the core spiritual frequency that currently is being broadcast by the Holy Spirit. And all those that hear what the Spirit is saying to the ecclesias are hearing the same thing, even if the BBC is still quite sleepy in this regard. This is why many are discovering the relevance of the Kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached. This is why so many are leaving Corky behind, Corky meaning church as we know it, yearning for a form of fellowship, ministry, and companionship with God and each other that reflects the kingdom, not man-made religion. This unique historic configuration calls for our unique response, a new conversion. We need to become an echo, a resonant cavity, a resounding chamber of that spiritual frequency, that divine initiative that has clearly begun to shake what is and to call into being what is not yet. Many followers of Christ are not just questioning their own setup, but are ready to leave for new shores, often not knowing where these new shores are. If this is describing you, you are not alone. So the question is, has God's kingdom striker ball hit you just yet? Your church, your company, your ministry, your future plans, your finances. Can you recognize how things accelerate? A global search for a utopia, a post-liberal, post-democratic order. A global exodus from religion that is both disgusted from man-made mystery cults and searching for the city of God. Do you see the political and economic systems of this world collide, crash and tumble as we watch on? Does the current political leaderlessness not strike you as odd? A messiah-shaped leadership vacuum of global proportions, paving the way like a second waning John the Baptist for who comes after him? Do you see these three initiatives pick up momentum? Then all you need to do is to be swept away with this momentum. Stop just dipping your toe into the kingdom swimming pool to test the temperature. Jump! Stop being a hybrid, trying to mix the man-made religion of Christianity with a God-made kingdom. Stop sitting on the sidelines and watch. Stand up and be counted for the one king and country that truly counts. Stop just talking kingdom and start to live it. Because God is busy setting up the kingdom with you or without you. But better with you.